you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the 11th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 25 through 30. Once again, for many, a very familiar and I think a very helpful passage. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This Wednesday is March the 1st. That may not have any particular significance to anyone, except you might be thinking, boy, it's March already? But Tuesday is the day that a lot of folks eat a lot of food and revel for the last time for a while. It is called, around New Orleans and some other places, Fat Tuesday. It is Shrove Tuesday, which means that Wednesday, March the 1st this year, marks the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday. A period of preparation and prayer for Easter. A period that begins for us one of those paradoxical things about Christianity. In fact, anyone who looks at the different teachings of Jesus will find a wide variety. Anyone who looks at his life will find a wide range of ups and downs and some things that seem to be almost contradictory. Some of what Jesus says is uplifting. We have to admit, if you study seriously, some of what Jesus says is difficult. Some sayings energize us and make us want to do all kinds of things on behalf of God and others, and some make us want to turn and run away. Some of Jesus' thinkings or teachings may even make us think, you've got to be kidding. Today's passage may fall into more than one category. It is a paradox. Now, that's not two doctors, but a statement that seems to be contradictory, but may still be true. The word paradox comes actually from two Greek words. Para, which means beyond or beside, and doxa, which means opinion. Comes from the word dokein, to think. Yet, this passage and others sometimes speak of paradoxical Christianity. Now, Jesus himself was probably the man of paradox, if you really look at his life and his teachings. He was a man of contrasts. He was very sociable and gregarious, charming and engaging on the one hand, and yet he frequently sought to be alone. Seems somewhat paradoxical. He was a prolific teacher, embodying truth, but he often raised more questions than he answered. He was gentle and humble. However, this gentle and humble man often caused controversy and unrest merely by his presence. He treated children and outcasts with respect. He treated them with love. But he confronted the self-righteous and even overturned the tables of the money changers in the area of the temple, challenging the religious establishment and what they had done to the temple and religion. He came to spread good news to the poor and set the captives free with joyful expectation. Yet he was also the man of sorrows, spoken of in the book of Isaiah. Jesus is the epitome of paradox in Christianity. The passage we have just read would give credence to this observation, as would such passages as Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. But I want us to look at this passage in Matthew just a little bit more for the next few moments. Jesus begins in this section that we have just read with an affirmation that God has given insight to many, many different persons. Some are knowledgeable in God's scheme of things, yet seem too simple to others. Some who think they have all the answers are foolish in their self-conceit. That's part of what Jesus is saying here when he says, I thank you, Father, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to babes or infants. Only those who continually seek to know God in and through Jesus will ever truly be knowing and will ever truly be known, according to Jesus here. He is setting up his hearers, I think, for the paradox that is to come. In one sentence, he says, come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Labor, laboring, and being burdened heavily are about like being pushed and falling. They kind of relate to each other. Laboring oftentimes brings heavy burdens, and heavy burdens bring us labor. We've all experienced this at some time in our lives. We feel so overly confident sometimes. We have the world figured out. Have you ever felt that way? I know there have been times when I felt that way, only to find out how wrong I was. We think we've got the world figured out, and then one day we get weary and tired, and our strength sags, our confidence drops, and sometimes all we can do is stagger along in the burden of living. Sometimes we even fall because of those burdens. They become so heavy. The falling may come from within ourselves, and it may come from real burdens or imagined, but sometimes we fall and get discouraged. We feel tired. We feel frightened. We feel sick. Maybe even disgusted. We may even begin to sulk or to give up. You ever felt like quitting? Just sitting down and quitting? Many of us have been there. And perhaps we've even wondered, why continue to even try? One writer, in looking at this passage, wrote, I cannot think of a single reason not to quit, except that another, who discovered in cross-beamed proportions the meaning of weariness, says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." I want to read that again. I cannot think of a single reason not to quit, except that another person, who discovered in cross-beamed proportions the meaning of weariness, says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." This is an invitation from Jesus, an invitation to those who understand their need for assistance, something that they cannot give themselves or do for themselves. It is also for those who are filled with self-righteousness, who feel so self-reliant that sometimes even being self-righteous becomes a burden to bear. You know, it's hard work to be that self-righteous and to be right all the time. Or at least to keep up the appearances of being right all the time. That's hard work. It's wearisome. It just might give out one day. And so Jesus' invitation is not only to those who are weary from a lack of self-righteousness, but also for those who are self-righteous and weary from carrying that burden. In other words, Jesus offers to anyone and everyone, not just a select few, the opportunity to come and to bring our burdens to Him. That's a wonderful statement. Come, all of you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. But then the paradox comes along. Look closely. Jesus calls for the weary to bring Him their burdens, and then He says, "And when you do, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How does someone get rest? By laying a yoke upon them. I know that most people here know what a yoke is. You've at least seen one. It's placed on an ox, or sometimes on a donkey or a mule. A yoke is for bearing burdens. And Jesus just said, "Give me your burdens and I will give you rest." And then He turns around and says, "But when you do that, I want you to take this yoke and put it on." And most of us would think, "Hold on a minute. You mean you're going to give me rest by giving me another burden-bearing instrument?" Water carriers, not just animals, sometimes wore yokes and would have jars of water on either side. I've heard people talk. I never experienced it. I heard my grandfather talk about it. And I've heard people around here in visiting over the last couple of years or so talk about either their daddy or their granddaddy, or perhaps even they themselves sometimes had a yoke around their shoulders similar to what was on the mule that they followed with a plow line plowing the field. Plowmen sometimes wear yokes. And all of this is hard work. It's not restful. Anybody in here ever walked the plow line? I see a few hands. And no, I'm not going to break out into, "I walk the line." There are other burdens, though, that seem like heavy yokes and restrictive. In fact, most of the time you think of a yoke as something being restrictive. So how can we find rest in bearing a yoke and carrying a burden? The answer, I think, is in the statement made by Jesus, the beginning of the phrase, "Take my yoke," Jesus says. As a carpenter, He knew how to make a yoke, and He knew how to produce one so that the burdens would be more easily shouldered, would seem lighter and easier to carry. The weight would be distributed evenly, and the burden could be carried. In essence, Jesus is saying here, "Willfully do my will, and I will craft a yoke for you that will allow your burdens to be lifted and to be lighter." How often do we try to carry our burdens with the yokes that we make? How often do we try to give things up to God only to take them back when we think He's not looking or not answering quickly enough? And then we try to carry them, and they seem to have gotten heavier when we took them back. And what about the yokes that we make? Yokes of selfishness and power and greed and self-righteousness. Perhaps even looking down our noses at others that don't measure up to the standards we set. And that makes not only their burdens heavier, but ours as well. We become more and more worried, and our spirits begin to fester. But Jesus' yoke is such that we can carry the weight of service and self-sacrifice more readily. Why? Because Christ crafts that yoke for us, and it's at least a double yoke. It's not carried just by us. When Jesus says, "Give me your burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Jesus is saying, you don't have to carry it all by yourself. I will carry it with you. And there is our paradoxical Christianity. We all have burdens. Some we create, some are foisted upon us by others. But Jesus promises us a yoke that will lighten the load and allow us to live even through the burden sometimes. It will take work. You notice here that Jesus doesn't promise an easy time or a time of luxury. Jesus doesn't promise that there will be no burdens. We live in a world and we are creatures for whom burdens often come. But the work is fruitful and shared with Christ. And that will move us beyond ourselves to praise God even in the work of burden bearing. Sometimes we do need a pair of docs. Doctors. But the paradox to which Jesus issues a call is one that will eventually cure all ills and lead to a restfulness in our spirit, even if our body may be tired, and will lead to a life that is worth living from everlasting to everlasting with the Christ of the paradox, the one who knows the paradox of living in this world far better than you or I, the one who learned that in cross-beamed proportions, and who made that journey which Christians begin looking toward with the beginning of Lent, who made that journey carrying not just His burden, but my burden and your burden and everyone else's, so that in His gentleness and in His humble heart, we can live our paradoxical lives with the assurance of His everlasting love. May we pray? Oh Lord our God, when sometimes we wonder how much longer we can go, we have burdens in our lives, some that we share with others, some that we keep to ourselves, some that we don't even share with You. Help us to find the rest that You promise, and to find that rest in part by sharing those burdens, not giving them away for someone else to care for, but to share them, to do our part along with You and with each other, that we might find rest and that our burdens might become lighter because they are shared. Help us in knowing that burdens still come, not to face life with fear, but to step forward with the confidence that the yoke that we take from You is one that You will then take and lift with us, so that life is living even through the paradox. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 326, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me. As we sing and think about that boundless love, which helps us even with the paradoxical times in our lives, our invitation is simple. If you've never made a profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but feel called to do so, we would welcome you. If you are searching for a church home and would join with us in this place from which to minister and worship, we would welcome you. If you feel called by God to recommit yourself, our altar is open and you are welcome. As we sing hymn number 326, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me.